Welcome to the Council of Moms. I'm Lisa Valentine Clark. I'm the mother of five. Most of my kids have left home, rude, and I have two at home right now. And I love hosting this podcast. I love being able to do creative work, and that's who I am. And here with me today on the Council of Moms is
Heather Frazier. I, too, am a mother to adult children and two children who have not quite left yet. And I would say I love creating, and that's evolved for me. It used to be with food because that was practical, or scrapbooking. And I love just being able to create. That's kind of what fills me.
And my name is LaVon Wells, and I've birthed four. And I have three still here with us in physicality. And I am now an official empty nester. So the youngest one is off in college. And at first it was hard, but actually it's so much freedom. Oh my gosh, so much freedom.
Okay, I like this. I'm going to need to ask more about that later.
And I love, absolutely. And I love speaking and sharing with people about love and life and all that yummy stuff. And I'm well known for being the love activist. My name, LaVon, aka LaVon.
I love it.
My name is Melanie Call. I am a mother of three children, and my parenting stage is early childhood. I have 5, 2, and one in middle school, 12, and she's about to turn 13 this year. And my superpower is my voice, and it's something I've learned throughout this year, the power of one's voice as a mother, as a caregiver, and as a parent.
Oh, I love that. That's beautiful. I'm so glad to have you all here to help answer some listener questions. I love the Council of Moms of bringing together just the collective wisdom of experience in different areas of life. So let's just dive into it, if you will.
Yes.
Okay. So this is from Ingrid in Twin Falls, Idaho. She says, I'm a working mother of two, and my spouse is loving and attentive, but it feels like he waits for me to tell him how to help around the house, rather than just jumping in and being an equal partner. Like everything ultimately comes back to me, even if technically the chores are divided between us. What can I do? I don't want to fight, but I also don't want to find a better, arguments. I want to find a better balance in our partnership. So this is a big question, and I feel like when you're dealing with a partner especially, it does affect the way that you parent, right? Yeah, if you are the one in charge. So what would you say to Ingrid?
Like in business and in family, you can rule out what are the roles and responsibilities that need to get done for the day. So I like to take the invisible work, like chores and motherhood and parenthood, and actually give them a name, label it.
Oh, interesting.
Label it. So like, for example, in like, I have to do the dishes. That's one to do. Like I have to do the laundry, like start naming all the tasks because they're essentially tasks. It's essential domestic housework that has to get done. Mm-hmm. And so if you write it out and give it a name, a label, you can split out the work to make sure that everybody's having their equal share.
I like that. Like that name it.
Yeah.
The interesting thing at the beginning of that question, she said, I have to ask. So my question for her would be, is it the asking that you dislike, or is it his response that's the problem?
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Because that, those are different.
Yeah. If you say, hey, babe, can you take out the trash, and it never happens, that's a completely different problem than I'm annoyed that I have to ask. Mm-hmm. Because also, there are different personalities, and some people are less aware. And so asking and advocating for you what you want actually isn't a problem. And it can reveal other problems within the relationship if you're requesting what you want based off of their response mm-hmm. to that.
Yeah,
I don't know. That's what do you have, LaVon?
That's really good about the based off response, because there's something else going on there. And I would say, excuse me, the key is communication, clear communication. If the verbal isn't working, how about writing the letter?
Hmm.
How about saying, you know, I've asked and I'm looking at new ways of communicating with you. You know, what's really going on? And you can write that down and give him a letter, you know, or even vocalize it verbally. But there's something else, most likely, that's really going on that she really, really, really wants. And it looks like it's the chores getting done. And it's being willing to be honest with herself and communicate honestly with the spouse and going from there. But I really believe there's communicate.
Yeah.
And not
clearly
the same way, a new way, a different way, a way that he doesn't see coming.
Yeah. Oh, I
so
feel
shift
like
that.
In that question, there's a little bit of this element, and I may be reading in Ingrid, I apologize if I am, of like, well, he should just know.
Yes.
Like, almost
yeah, that's
like,
poison.
I know, but I relate to that. You know, like, I, especially when I was married, like early on, I thought, well, you shouldn't ask me what I want for a gift. You should know what I want because you know me so well. Or you should see all these things that need to get done. And that invisible work, I love what you're saying. Like you have to, like, I'm always thinking of how much gas is in the car or are we going to run out of toilet paper or who needs a birthday party present for this? Like, all these things that are not just clean the bathroom or do the dishes.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's a million little things. Or, like, are we saving enough for retirement? Do we have this? Like, did we think about a present for the mother-in-law? Like, I don't know. Like,
just the normal hum of a woman's brain.
Well, and it's like zing, zing, zing. And then for him to say, well, just tell me, let me know what I can do. It's like, well, why don't you worry about this too? But I like what you're saying of, like, everyone communicates differently.
Absolutely.
And if it's not working, like, maybe write it down or be clear about it. That can sometimes be hard for couples though, right?
Yeah. Well, because it requires vulnerability.
Yes, and that's where her growth comes into play, you know, especially, she'll get to a place where she's able to actually be accountable for her own experience. And I say this a lot and I, you know, I don't know. Anyway, we'll go there.
Yeah.
But it really isn't about her husband.
It really
isn't. It really is not.
It's about wanting to feel seen and validated and appreciated and helped. Yeah.
It's about her. How am I communicating? How am I showing up in life so much so that people hear me? Am I being heard? Am I being seen? If she actually takes, and this is just an insight, takes a look at how is it I'm showing up? How have I trained people to treat me?
Oh.
And am I willing to retrain my husband how to treat me and how to see me?
Mm-hmm.
Be willing to go there. And that's a possibility as well. But that's where the PowerPoint is, right there.
Right.
Coming back to self.
Right.
And getting real with self. And then going out into the external world and expressing how you feel and what's really real for you and true for you. That's the PowerPoint.
I really relate to that because I, you know, you had said earlier about finding your voice.
Right.
And once you own it and say, no, this is what I want, this is what I need, and this is how we can communicate together, there is some things that just you can let go of then.
Right. You always want to be able to speak your what you have in your heart, like anything, because if you don't, it stays trapped in the body. So, like, from a health standpoint, like, you want to be able to utilize your voice in a comfortable and safe place, especially with your spouse.
Absolutely.
It's a safe place. So you utilize your voice where you need support.
Absolutely.
How did you find your voice?
I went through something difficult last year, and I didn't want to excuse bad behavior anymore. And so I used my voice in sharing our stories. And sharing our stories is what empowers not only us, but our communities.
Yes.
And so I've become a social activist.
I love that.
And
Yay.
This past year, I've actually went to the White House to use the power of my voice.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Yes.
Yeah, you found your voice.
Yes.
That's amazing. And how has that changed your relationships?
The way I show up, how authentic I am, I don't need to be the loudest person in the room. But I have my data points, I have my courage, and it's okay to be vulnerable because on the other side of that is courage. And what I've been able to find is power. And we have more movement than people realize just in the power of our voices collectively.
Oh, I love
Beautiful.
That. It's like women, like, we can encourage each other in a way of, I know that this is hard. I see you and I see what you're struggling with, but, and there's not just one way to do that. There's Absolutely. Not just one way to use your voice, or I think that's really empowering. You say that you talk a lot about, you know, love and coming together. How have you learned to communicate then, like, more clearly? What have you learned over the last few years?
Oh, my goodness.
Is that a big enough question?
Sorry. Enough question. No, no sorries. It's perfect. It just got to a point where it's exhausting being angry. It's exhausting being upset. It's exhausting making it about other people or anything outside of myself externally. And I just got to a point where it was, love really is the only, if I am at choice and I get to choose how I'm going to live my life, express myself while I'm here, then I'm choosing that the only power that's on this planet is love. That's it. And of course, that comes from me having a child that passed away. Mm-hmm. And she has taught me it while she was in her physicality and outside of her physicality. She taught me that this is the only place to come from. This is how you see me, mother. This is how you hear me. And I've just been taking it on ever since. It's been decades, you know, doing this work, being about this love. I'm not perfect in it. I have days, I have moments, but honestly, I always come back around to the love component because love is, and people tend to think of love as like, oh, sweet love, relationship, love, da, da, da. Love is powerful. Love is a truth teller. Love is what gives us the power to tell our stories and to create change in the world. Love will check you.
Yeah.
She is fierce. She, you know, boy. And yet at the same time is always about bringing people together, all walks of life, all everything, you know. Love is like, it's definitely the special sauce. And if I get to focus on one thing, because I can't speak for everybody else, but I tend to think about all kinds of things because the world is busy. And through, you know, with technology and, you know, social events and family and everything, things get really, really busy. And so I make it a practice every morning to sit with myself and to sit with love, that presence of love, and allow myself to be consumed with it before I walk out of my bedroom, before I walk out of my home, before I walk out into the world. Wow. It is a commitment. It feeds me. And miracles happen. Breakthroughs happen out of the blue. Just awesome things are created from this place.
I love that. Thank you for sharing how powerful that is. Because, I mean, here's this question about, hey, how can I help in this practical way? But what she's really asking for is she wants more connection.
Yes. Right?
She wants more. It's a bid for connection. Of I want more help in this. I want us to be equal partners in this. And kind of like assuming that bet the best and for her to come from a place of love. I mean, that's what we all have to do, right? When we are in any relationship with our kids, with spouses, with friends, that's what they're looking for. And I wanted to ask you about, you know, your love of creativity, right? And connection. I feel like connection and creativity are so close. Like
yes.
They're like the same thing. What has creativity in the ways that you've expressed it helped you to find that kind of connection when your spouse or other, your kids are like looking for that connection?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I actually, this year, I wrote two books.
Yay.
All about love. So one is publishing in January.
I love this.
I'm super
this
excited.
It's like our love group, Council of Moms.
Seriously.
Like, I'm really into this.
Yeah. I love the love. So it's called How I Fixed My Teen. And spoiler, just because we're friends, I didn't fix my teen.
Because I was like, wait, what do I not know?
Okay, I know, good. That sounds kind of like magic, but also taboo. No, but it is the memoir of me and my child that I struggled so much with. I feel like we kind of, our first children are the guinea pigs. We learn and grow with them. And then with my kids that are still at home, it's like so easy, even though they're in the worst ages of 15 and 13, where they just are angry and moody. Like, it's so much easier than it was with my first two. because I found how to love unconditionally, which for this lady and twin, shout out to twin, because that's, I have family there. But yeah, love. I had to stop the expectations that I had for my child, like she has for her husband and how the house should run, so that I could love them properly. And then when you love properly, it invites behavior that you want. You don't always get that behavior.
Yeah, but it's not conditional on that.
It's not conditional.
And you're laying it all out.
Yeah, and that's really helpful information. Like, I think, LaVon, you were saying, there's something else going on. Yeah. And when you can love unconditionally, it's easier to see what's going on because, like, I was so hurt mm-hmm. for so many years because my children were doing things that I taught them better.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that expectation of how they should be was wounding me. And our kids or our spouse, they can feel that. Mm-hmm. They can feel our mm-hmm. disappointment. They can feel our resentment. And so to be able to drop that so that we aren't putting out that vibe so that... And then my daughter started sharing with me and wanting to connect. Our kids, they want to connect with us.
They do.
They want that more than anything else, but they also want self-preservation. So they'll do that, which is like,
right.
not tell mom and dad. Yeah. Why?
Because I know how she's going to react.
Yeah.
Which nothing sets me off more when my kids were like, well, I didn't tell you because I knew how you'd react. And I'd be like, I am wonderful.
Yeah. Do
I don't know what you're talking about. I am calm. I am rational. I love you yes. more than anybody else because I'm obsessed with you. Like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
And then I think, oh, no, I can hear it. I can hear it in my voice.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
I do need to take a step back right. and check myself. But I'm like, I still want to know. I'm still into this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this question that we started with is so closely related to like what we're intentionally and unintentionally teaching our kids, right?
Absolutely.
How we react to our spouse, how they see us, you know, have disagreements or resolve things and even split up the family, you know, chores or responsibility. They're watching, they're absorbing, and it's informing a lot of how they see the world and go out into the world. So I'd love to know what things that you have done or are trying to do that intentionally like show your kids this path to love and finding your voice and being a good independent adult while still looking for connection. How do you intentionally do that?
I work on being my best self, honestly, because again, what you said, they feel it.
Yeah.
They feel it.
We track each other.
Absolutely.
We absolutely track each other.
Absolutely. They totally feel it. So if I am doing my best, if I'm having self talk, having conversation with myself about how I don't feel good today, or I don't, that dress doesn't look good on me today. I'm not that beautiful. Oh my gosh, I need to put some blush on because my cheeks are, you know, that's a ripple. That's something that my daughter's going to feel. So I literally will work on myself. It's not always easy on certain days because some days it is easy.
Yeah.
But I know if I'm having this conversation, I'm thinking this way about myself, I'm not getting up, I'm not going down to the gym and I'm not exercising, how am I to tell my daughter, well, you probably feel better at college if you just go and get on the treadmill? I literally caught myself, hey, you're feeling down? Go get on the treadmill. Move your muscle. Do some movement. Hung up the phone and looked at myself in the mirror and said, now look at you. Get up.
Oh, the
and get yourself.
Oh, yeah.
So it's one of those things where I really make the focus, you know, it's not selfish, it's very much self-love. I make myself the focus. I make sure that I'm doing my best. And I also know, like what you were saying, we can't control our children.
No.
We can't control anybody. And guess what?
Seriously.
And that's the good news.
I mean, I know.
That's freedom.
And also, yep, you're right.
That's
like,
the good news.
Like, it's good and bad.
Yeah. Well, that's good news, though, because that brings freedom
mm-hmm.
to be all that I can be, you can be, we can be.
Yeah.
You know, I'm learning. I'm still learning.
I am
still
too.
Learning.
Yeah. You bring up a good point because what I've instilled in my daughter is to never compare. You know, the only competition is the competition with yourself. You have to be better than yesterday and do something that you can look back on and be proud of.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. Me too.
That is fantastic. It kind of flows into my thought on this, which is the thing that I have tried the most to do is drop the idea that I have to be perfect or like a good mom. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because
like
what does that
mean? A good
person,
a good. Well, we all get to define it. So I just decided that I just am a baller mom, actually.
Nice.
In all the messy glory. And so when I can drop the idea that I need to look perfect or my house needs to or my children need to so that everybody will think we're fantastic, I really try to be authentic with my kids. Mm-hmm. So I share with them as much as age appropriate, like my struggles, my victories, my goals, how I've worked through things and how they, so that they can work through things. I think a lot of times we try to protect our kids by not showing them all of us.
That's true. Mm-hmm. I mean, at least for me, but in the early parts of my parenting, I was like, I can't show a crack because then everything will unravel. They won't see me as an authority or a, like I know anything. And then.
Yeah. But the best
they
way
see it
to,
anyway.
They do.
And they
see that you're trying to be sneaky, just like when we see they're trying to be sneaky and hide. But the best way to gain like respect and authenticity is to show what is disrespectful about us or like imperfect or the we're still working on. So I've tried when my kids are saying, well, I disagree with you on this or why do you do that? I'm like, that's a great question. Why do I do that? And let me think through it with you to see if it holds water or not. Mm-hmm. Like to not, and it requires dropping ego.
Yeah.
Which, so to be able to stand like emotionally naked in front of other people. So, yeah that's
brave.
What I try to do.
Be
it
brave.
Really requires a lot of bravery.
Know that you're brave and not perfect, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that isn't even the goal. Like, our goal is to connect and love our kids so fiercely that that's what they expect from everybody in their life.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. We want better for our kids, right? Mm-hmm. I think we can all agree on that. We want them to learn from our mistakes and to learn from our successes, too, and the things that have worked.
Yeah.
And in sharing that, I think sometimes, we can get caught up in our own ego of, like, what that means. And with our spouses as well, too, right?
Absolutely.
And if we want real connection, we have to be vulnerable. And part of that is just showing all the cracks and mistakes.
Yeah.
I try to tell my
portions.
Kids, make mistakes. Just don't make the same mistakes. Let's make different
or
mistakes.
Or get better as you make
mistakes.
Yeah,
and that has helped. That kind of verbiage has sort of helped
have
me.
Have a plan B.
I love that.
Where we are.
So isn't what I'm hearing is that everyone and everything are reflections for us. Everyone and everything are mirrors for us.
Yeah.
Because those children will bounce it back to you.
Oh, they will.
Straight up.
Yeah.
They're like, look at you. Mm-hmm. Here we go.
And that's when you say you're absolutely right and thank you for pointing it out.
Yeah. Absolutely.
If they're accurate, because that is a letting go of ego, showing a vulnerability, and it shows them, my mom's human.
Yeah.
and she's owning it.
And you know what, too? It's also an opportunity for humor. Like, my family is a big humor family. And if you take yourself too seriously and your kids can't tease you and you can't, you know, tease them in a loving way, obviously, never, you know, degrading, you're missing a lot of that humor. If you're like, well, no, I have to be this and you do this
story.
And I do this, you know?
I have such a funny story for that.
Yeah?
I'm sorry. We love to travel, and we were in Mexico maybe like a decade ago, and they have these big topes along the highway, like big speed bumps. And I was driving, and I hit a tope headed to Tulum like at 60 because they just snuck up on me. And so my son in the back like totally hit his head. And for years, they would crack these jokes like tope whenever I would drive that. And I was always like I was so mad. And so I knew that I had emotionally evolved when they could say the tope joke and I could laugh too.
Yeah,
sometimes we drive bad, especially in foreign countries where we've never been.
Yeah. And it's bonding. Oh,
love it.
So great.
Yeah.
I think kids practice a lot of leadership skills. And so I'm like, that could be the next CEO. You know, you have to watch her and listen to her and what she's saying.
Agreed.
That's so good.
Agreed.
So great.
This has been so great. Thank you so much for sharing your perspective on all of this. And yeah, I mean, I really love where this has ended up with connection. This is what we're doing. We're especially as moms, we're constantly being bombarded with bids for connection from our spouses, from our friends, from our children. And how are we responding? That's how we show up.
Can I do a quick disclaimer?
Please.
We did not call each other.
I know.
Get the wardrobe check.
But
we all showed
beautiful.
Up unified, already connected with our colors.
Already connected.
To be. Look at this.
This is the power of the Council of Moms. I just want to say.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe in the power of the Council of Moms.
We are all called. We're called.
We were called. It's true.
We are all called.
I've been called a few things. But...
Oh, this is my favorite. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.